بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين، وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are still talking about the dealings according to the school of Imam Shafi'i radiyallahu anhu, as summarized by Al-Qadi Abu Shuja', one of the prominent scholars in the school of Imam Shafi'i radiyallahu anhu. The first dealing we'd like to talk about tonight is al-waqf. Al-waqf, in English, they might refer to it as mortmain, or the inalienable endowment. When you dedicate a land, it comes out of your ownership, it will be dedicated so others can benefit by it in a continuous way. So after your death, you will be receiving rewards as long as others are benefiting by it. This is known in our religion as al-waqf. And there are many lands, in fact, that were dedicated as waqf. And there are some lands around mosques and the like that were dedicated as waqf as well. So the benefit of it will continue until the day of judgment. And that is known from as-sadaqa al-jariyah, the continuous charity, in other words. Maybe you are familiar with this term. Continuous charity. That's what they mean by al-waqf. You want a continuous charity. So after your death, you want to keep receiving rewards for years and years and years. So while you are at your grave, you will be receiving rewards. And that is taken from the hadith. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا مَاتَ ابْنُ آدَمِ انْقَطَعَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثِ. When the son of Adam dies, his deeds will stop except for three. Meaning, he won't be accountable for any of the deeds by his death. But he can still receive rewards in other ways. Now, when he dies, he's no longer praying, no longer fasting, no longer donating. That's it. These deeds will stop by his death. But the reward of the continuous charity will continue. So this person will continue to receive rewards for the continuous charity he had dedicated during his lifetime. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا مَاتَ ابْنُ آدَمِ انْقَطَعَ عَمَلُهُ. He's no longer accountable now, he's dead. انْقَطَعَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثِ. صَدَقَةٍ جَارِيَةٍ. That's the continuous charity. صدقة جارية وعلم ينتفع به, a knowledge that he taught to others, and those ones that have learnt from him are now teaching others, and so on. So as long as this continues, this person will receive rewards while he's at his grave. The last one is a son. And in the hadith it is mentioned a righteous son, because that's usually the case. Who's going to supplicate for his father? The righteous one. But even if he's not righteous, meaning the supplication of the children when they make istighfar, that was mentioned in another hadith, when they say, "Oh Allah, forgive my parents." So see, asking Allah for forgiveness for one's parents, they will see this as a gift while they are in their graves, gifts and blessings. So they will benefit by the supplication of their children after their death. They will benefit by the knowledge they have taught to others. They will benefit by the continuous charity they have offered during their lifetime. So our talk is about al-waqf, which is a kind of continuous charity. And the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were very keen to do that waqf during their lifetime, that it was mentioned nearly none of them died without making a certain type of waqf, because he wanted the rewards to continue after his death. And that is taken from the general meaning of the ayah, وَفْعَلُوا الْخَيْرِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, and do the good deeds so you may succeed. وَفْعَلُوا الْخَيْرِ, do the good deeds so you may succeed in the hereafter. You don't know with what reward you'll be forgiven on the day of judgment. Didn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, اتقوا النار ولو بشق تمرة, meaning save yourselves from hellfire even by donating half a date. See, that one date, that fruit of a date, half of it. If one donates half a date with a good and sincere intention, he might be saved from hellfire because of that donation. Because of that donation. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is encouraging us to do the good deeds. And our topic now is about al-waqf, which is based on one's enthusiasm towards performing good deeds for his hereafter. You are investing for the hereafter. Now people, you might hear from them making kinds of investment for what? For worldly matters. I want to do such and such. I want to invest my money here and there. That's what they think about. What about investing for the hereafter, which is more important? Whatever you invest for the hereafter, you will see it's a fruit in the hereafter. But for this dunya, that will perish. Even if it grows, you die and you leave him behind, and others, the inheritors, will have enjoyment with what you have left for them. And you're going to be questioned about your money on the day for judgment. So this is a kind of investment for the hereafter, al-waqf. You are investing for the hereafter. Al-waqf, linguistically, is to freeze something, to freeze an asset, to freeze a property. Islamically, it is defined as freezing your money or part of your money that can be transported from one generation to another, from one recipient to another. We'll talk about it And it is beneficial, so it has a benefit in it, Islamically considerable benefit, while it is not consumed. And it is spent in a way where one is seeking acceptance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have the one who is offering this inalienable endowment, dedication, the one who is making the dedication. The dedicated thing could be a land. The dedicated to, those are the recipients. And also the fourth integral is the verbal statement one would establish in order for this property be classified as waqf. So we have four integrals. The one who is dedicating, that's the donor. We have the one to whom the donation is made, those are the recipients. And the donated thing. And the last thing is the verbal statement. What can be dedicated as waqf, to freeze it, it comes out of your ownership and it becomes for the recipients, must be something that is not consumed. So a person can have the right of use, let us say, or the benefit of it, but it's not consumed, all of it. For that reason, the scholar said, you cannot put as waqf or allocate as waqf the money, the golden dinar and silver coins, dirham. You cannot put this as waqf because they're going to be spent. Food, the food will be consumed. Something that has a nice smell, fragrance. So if you have, let us say, roses, that will diminish eventually. So this cannot be dedicated as waqf. So what can be dedicated as waqf? Something that has an Islamically considerable benefit in it, while not consumed. That's why it lasts for generations. Generation after generation, they can all benefit by it. For instance, you might have a garden with trees in it. And you say, I want to dedicate the fruits that come on these trees, let us say palm trees, for the poor people in this town. So you are going to be the donor here, and you are dedicating that benefit to whom? To the poor people in that town. So those are the recipients. What are you dedicating? The fruits that will come on the trees. So every year, the poor people can benefit and can take from the fruits of these trees. This is one example. Or you might have, let us say, sheep. And you say, I want to dedicate them for the poor people in this area. So they can benefit by the milk. So these sheep can be milked, and the poor people can take from the milk of these sheep. That's another example. Or you might have a house. For instance, in the past, people next to Prophet's Mosque used to dedicate a house, for instance, for those who come to perform pilgrimage. So a person would say, I want to dedicate this house for the pilgrims who come to perform Hajj and visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They can sleep in this house. So the benefit of using this house for living applies to everyone who goes under that condition. So anyone that goes under that condition, in that category, can benefit from this dedicated house. That's an example. A person may have a land, and this land has no crops in it, no plants. He might dedicate the land so it can be planted, and poor people can benefit by the crops that this land will generate. That is permissible as well. Another condition, the initial recipients exist and the future recipients be continuous. So first, it is something that can be benefited from without being consumed, like a land or animals. You can dedicate a land, you can dedicate animals, so others can benefit by them. And the second condition, the initial recipients must be existent now. And the future recipients must continue. What does that mean? What is meant by the continuous charity, we call it continuous charity, is to continue. So if you say, for instance, I want to dedicate this house for that person only, that will not continue. So now the direct recipient, the initial recipient exists. However, what is the continuous future recipients? Do not exist. So first, it must be dedicated to those that are presently existent. And second, the future recipients must continue as well. So a person may say, for instance, I'll give you one example. I want to dedicate such and such as waqf for my children. Then their children, after their death, then to the poor people. His conditions will apply in the way he mentioned them. So the first to benefit by his dedication are his direct children. When they die, all of them, then his grandchildren will benefit by it. Then when no one exists, if he puts in his statement, I wanted to go then to the poor people, then after that it will go to poor people. The condition must be fulfilled in the way he said it. And that's the meaning of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-muslimuna 'inda shurutihim. The conditions the Muslims put must apply. So when one dedicates something with a condition, then the condition must be met. So if someone says, let us say, I now dedicate, or in Arabic they say, waqaftu hadha al-bayt, I dedicated this house as waqaf, for instance, to the poor people that come from overseas to perform Hajj. So he specified the poor people that come from overseas. Then the poor people in that area who are locals would not benefit by it, because he specified it for those who come from overseas. The conditions must be met. The scholars mentioned a case that if one says, for instance, I now dedicate, let us say, this house for my children, وَقَفْتُ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ لِأَوْلَادِي, and he did not add anything to it. So what happens? The scholars said, then after the death of his children, It will go to those who are close relatives, known as al-arham, the closest to his children. And some said usually when one dedicates something, usually he dedicates it for the poor people. So if he says, I now dedicate this to my children, then after his children, the poor relatives from the rahim can benefit by it as well. To dedicate something, it has to be untimed. So you cannot dedicate a land for a specific time, like for a year. To say, I want to dedicate this garden so poor people can benefit by the fruits that come on the trees, let us say, for 1 year. Because what is meant by dedication is to continue. It's a continuous charity and the continuous reward. And in such a case, this condition is missing. That's why when it is timed, the dedication will be void. So if you want to dedicate something for poor people to benefit from and to continue benefiting after your death, they will continue benefiting by it, then you cannot time it. It has to be indefinite, open. Because what do you mean by that dedication? It's to continue receiving the rewards even after your death. So you cannot time it. Also, another condition, it is not something unlawful. So the dedicated thing must not be something unlawful. It has to be something lawful. Then he said, the conditions of the donor must be met, whether they pertain to making some recipients eligible before others or giving recipients equal or unequal portions. So when one dedicates a place, let us say, for people to live in it, or he dedicates the fruits that come on the trees for others as well, or the milk that is extracted from the sheep, then the way the distribution will be is based on his condition. He might specify when making that dedication, for instance, I now dedicate this place for living for my children. The one who is more knowledgeable first, or the one who is more God-fearing lives in it first, or the one who is married lives in it first, and so on. If he puts an order, then that order must be observed. That's the meaning of it. Remember what the Prophet said, Al-Muslimuna 'inda shurutihim. The conditions of the Muslims must be met. That is an example what we are mentioning now. Also, sometimes he might dedicate something for his children and say, I now dedicate this for my children. When they die, it goes to my grandchildren. So as long as there are children, they are the eligible recipients. When none of them remains alive, it goes to the grandchildren. So based on his condition, he might have a garden and he dedicates the fruits as well for his children by saying the fruits that come on the trees the first year will be for the females and the year after will be for males and so on. So they follow the order he has put and placed as a condition. Or he might say, for instance, I now dedicate the fruits of these trees to my children, males and females take equal portions. He can do that because this is not inheritance. This is called waqf. That's something different. And he can put a condition by saying, I want the male to take twice the portion of a female, similar to the inheritance. He can do that as well. Now here, a question arises about giving something to one of your children and not giving the rest. If you have no reason to specify one of your children with something, then some scholars said, if there is no reason, it is forbidden. Others said, it is disliked. So according to some scholars, it is disliked to distinguish one of your children with something while depriving others. That's in your life. Now after your death, whether you agree or not, the inheritance will be distributed as per the Islamic law. But during your life, let us say you have properties, and then you give one of your properties to one of your children, and you don't give others. Specifying one of your children with that property and depriving others, if you have no reason, some scholars said that's forbidden. And some said it is disliked, because this might generate hatred between them. So if there is no reason, then you should give him all. You do not specify one while depriving others. But sometimes you might have a reason. You have a child who gambles. You have a son who gambles, who drinks alcohol, and so on. And you have another one who is pious, God-fearing. So you give this pious and God-fearing and you deprive the other one. You can. You have a reason here. Because that one will use the money in act of disobedience. For that reason, you don't want to give him. You want to give the one who is God-fearing. In that case, you can. So by this, we conclude in brief talking about al-waqf. That's why there is a place that is dedicated, for instance, to be a masjid, mosque, for Muslims. The one who dedicated that land as a mosque, it will be used only as a mosque. If one dedicates, let us say he digs a well and he dedicates that well for the passerbyers to drink from, you don't wash your cars from it. That's an example, because it is dedicated for those recipients. The one who is not from those recipients cannot use this waqf, cannot use that waqf. He's not one of the recipients. Islamically, he will be taken something unrightfully. So that's why if you are in a place and there is waqf, you have to be careful. There were some lands, for instance, dedicated as mosques, but later on they changed people the purpose of that dedication. They can't do this. There is a graveyard in Beirut dedicated as a graveyard for Muslims. So the one who owned that land, he said, I dedicate this land for Muslims to bury their dead in it. So until the day of the judgment, it remains as what? Graveyard. So when that dies, he wants to receive continuous rewards. So when they bury in that land, as they're doing all that, he will be receiving rewards. But unfortunately, this graveyard turned into car park now. They can't do that. There are many areas in Lebanon, in Syria, in Palestine, in Jordan, in the countries of Asham in general, that were dedicated as waqf. Many areas in Mecca and Medina were dedicated as waqf. A person may have a big land, he might take a small portion for himself and say, I want to dedicate this land for the benefit of the pilgrims. They can sit here, they can sleep in this place, and so on. So this is called waqf. It cannot be sold, the waqf cannot be sold. It will remain based on what? The condition of the one who dedicated that land. And that is taken from the hadith, as we mentioned. The second dealing we'd like to talk about is offering gifts or donations in general. And this is called in Arabic al-hiba, al-hiba. It is derived from the blowing of the wind, that's linguistically, or when one gets up from his sleep. They said it was called hiba from this derivation, as if the one who is offering that gift or donation got up of his sleep to perform this act of benevolence. Or it's like the blowing of the wind, something you rush to do because it is recommended to offer these donations and gifts. Islamically, it is classified as offering without any return, without price. So you are not selling, you offer for free. That's the definition of donating, giving as a gift. So when you give someone a gift, you don't ask for its price. So you offer this as a gift and you are not waiting for a return. See how many people these days, if a lady gives birth to a newborn baby, they go and they offer her something, like a gift, and they expect what? Of that lady to do the same. Islamically, if you want to offer a gift, you don't wait for any return. So it will be done purely and sincerely without waiting for any reward. So they said it is giving the ownership of something without any price for it. So you dedicate, you donate, you offer as a gift, and you don't wait for what? For a return. And if your intention is purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're seeking rewards from Allah, it's classified as what? As sadaqah. That's when we say a charity. So that gift or donation, when one is seeking Allah's rewards, is classified as what? Charity. Sadaqah, they call it in Arabic. you seek the rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes you might be offering something to one who is in a better situation than you financially. He might be rich and you might be poor, and you give him something as a gift. That's classified as a gift. So it doesn't have to be something offered by someone who is in a better financial situation than the other one to whom the gift is given. It's not necessary. You might give to someone in your rank financially, or even someone who is in a better financial situation than you. In general, it is recommended, and its recommendation is known from the Quran. Allah Ta'ala said, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى, and support one another with goodness and piety. And here al-hiba goes under the term al-birr. When you perform, this is an act of goodness. Al-birr is an act of goodness. Offering a charity goes under this. In the hadith as well, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to ask, whenever they bring him food, he would say, is this a gift or a charity donation? If they say this is a charity or donation, he wouldn't eat from it. But if they say it's a gift, he would eat from it. And that's for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He doesn't take from the donations and the charities. But if one offers him a gift, he would accept it. You know the story of Salman al-Farisi, one of the companions, who read in the previous books that the last prophet accepts the gift but doesn't take charity. And between his shoulders is the seal of prophethood. So Salman worked very hard and he got some food and he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, this is for charity. The Prophet gave him to the companions, but the Prophet didn't eat from them. And he was watching the Prophet. When he saw that the Prophet did not eat from them, he said in himself, this is the first one. Then he went and worked, bought some food and came back. And he gave him to the Prophet and he said, this is a gift. The Prophet ate from them and he gave the rest to the companions. He said to himself, this is the second sign. Now he's waiting for the third one. He wants to see the seal of prophethood between the shoulders of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet realized that Salman is after something, and he knew. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dropped his cloak that he had on his shoulders, and Salman was able to see the seal of prophethood. It's like a sign, like an egg or a button. It's a sign between the shoulders of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he saw it, he embraced Islam. So this is one of the specific matters for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he used not to accept charity to be given to him, but he would accept something as a gift. Al-Qadi Abu Shuja' said, so what can you offer as a gift or donation? He said, everything that is permissible to sell is permissible to give as a gift. That's in general. For instance, something najis, let us say water that is najis, or wine, for instance. You cannot sell wine, so you cannot give it as hiba. The wine. So anything that you cannot sell, you cannot give what? As a hiba. You cannot sell these insects, flies or snakes or scorpions. There's no benefit in them. So those are not owned. But the scholar said, for instance, there is an exemption is to say, for instance, to give him 2 seeds of wheat. Now, there's no considerable benefit in them as in terms of selling them. So you cannot buy them, but one can offer them as a gift. They give this as an example to differentiate between offering as a gift or donation and selling and buying. Then he said, the gift does not become binding until the recipient takes possession of it. Once the recipient takes possession of it, the giver cannot retract it unless he is a parent. So that's a case that we need to talk about. A person might be thinking about giving something away as a gift to someone. He might say to him, I give you my car. So he said the word. But does that mean if he said it, he cannot retract it? No. But after the recipient takes possession of it, he cannot retract it. So if you have something in your hand, could be, let us say, a ring. And someone, let us say, said, I want to buy a ring. Then you take it off and you give it to him and you say, it's yours. I've given it to you. Now he took it. Now it's in his possession. You cannot, as a donor, retract it now. It's not like the case of selling. If you remember, if you sell something to someone, as long as you are in the same session, you can retract it. That's in selling. You can retract the selling, revoke it, if you are in the same session. But here, in offering a donation or a gift, if that person takes possession of it, you cannot retract it. It was mentioned in the hadith that the one who gives something as a donation or as a gift, then he retracts it, is like the dog vomiting, then eating his own vomit. It's not right. Give someone a gift, then after he takes it, then you want it back. You break his heart. The Prophet likened or drew this analogy between this person who offers you a gift, something, then after you take it, he wants it back. It's like the dog vomiting, then eating his own vomit. Except, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what a parent retracts. The parent here includes the father, the mother, the grandfather, and the grandmother as well. They can retract the gift they give to their children or grandchildren. So don't be upset with your parents if they give you something today, then after 1 month, they want that thing back. They can. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith that one cannot retract. It's not permissible for him to retract the gift that he offered to others, except if he is a parent. So the parent can retract the gift. So if your father, let us say, gave you a car, one of his cars, then after a month he wasn't happy with your behavior, then he says to you, I now retract my gift to you. I want it back. I don't want you to have it. He can. He's a father. The mother can do the same. The grandparents can do that as well. So that's something specific for them. Now here we come to a point that some people may offer something and they make it conditional upon the lifetime of one. For instance, if one gives something to someone for as long as the recipient is alive, or makes the recipient's ownership conditional to whoever dies first, then in these two cases it belongs to the recipient, then to his inheritors after his death. There is something in Arabic called here al-umrah wal-ruqbah, two cases very close to each other. The first one, al-umrah, from al-umr, the lifetime. A person may say to another person, I give you this land for as long as you live. Meaning, when you die, it comes back to me. Or he might say, I'll give you this land, but if I die first, it's yours. If you die first, it comes back to me. So it's a conditional what? Offering. He's making an offer, he's giving something, however, he's putting a condition. So in the first case, when he says, I give you the ownership of this land for as long as you live, as long as you are alive, it's yours. Or he might say, for instance, I give you this land with the condition that if you die before me, it comes back to me, to my ownership. If I die before you, it remains in your ownership. So he made the gift or offering conditional. What happens in that case? As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith, then it will be permissible for that person to take it. And the condition that the one who made the offer put will be void. So that means the land will be in the possession of or under the ownership of that person. When he dies, it goes to his inheritors. It doesn't go back to the one who donated this land to that person. Although he put a condition, he said, I give you this land, but when you die, it comes back to my ownership. This condition will be void, and the ownership will be true of that land by that person. And that's the meaning of the hadith, Al-Umrah Ja'iza, meaning it is valid. Al-Umrah wal-Ruqba, both are valid. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who makes such an offer, then this will go, the donated thing will go to that person, then to his inheritors after his death. It doesn't go back to the donor, the one who donated it, the one who gave it away. It doesn't go back to him. So these two cases, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, some people may say it. And you might say, I won't do it. But there are some who might do it as well. Some of the cases that the scholars would mention in their books, maybe you would look at yourself, I will never engage in such a transaction or dealing. But others, especially in the past, they did engage in such transactions. And for that reason, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified the judgment. The following thing is about lost and found items. If one finds a lost item in an unowned land or on a pathway, one may take it or leave it. Taking it is better than leaving it if one trusts oneself to safeguard it. So now the author started talking about the lost and found items. What you find in an unowned land. Why they say in an unowned land? Because now you don't go to someone's backyard and you say, I found something in his backyard, and you take it and you want to announce it for 1 year. No, you took it from his property. In an unowned land, let us say you find something in the beach, you find something in the mosque, you find something in the marketplace, in an unowned land, or on a pathway, any route, any street. So that's for everyone to use. It's not in a specific or private property. That's for public. In English they say that's for public. So it's an unowned land. It's not a private property. When you find something in that place, what should you do? That's the chapter about it. It's not as some ignorant people say, finders keepers. They take without announcing and they think this is a gift that was given to them. No. Al-Qadi Abu Shuja' said, if you find something, you have the choice to take it or leave it. Now, if you choose to take it, you can take it with two intentions, one of two intentions. Either you want to safeguard it until the owner shows up and you give it to the owner. That's one thing. The second is you have the intention that if I don't find the owner after announcing it, publicizing it for 1 year, we're going to talk about this, then you take it into your own possession. You take it into your ownership. So it's either you're taking it as something for safekeeping, so you safeguard it until the owner shows up and you give it back to him, or you want to keep it between the brackets, hoping that the owner will not show up, and after 1 year you take it into your own ownership. But that even has rules as well. We're going to talk about. He said, if one takes it, one must know 6 things about it. Why? So if someone says, I've lost such and such, he would be aware of, yeah, this is what I've got at home, it belongs to that person. So you need to know 6 things. That's if you want to keep it after 1 year, you need to be aware of these 6 matters. Its container, its lid, the top part of it. It's a string that holds the lid. As in the past, they would have a string and they might use it to tie, let us say, a container or bottle made of leather, as they used to have them in the past. So they might have a string at the top, they tie it. So you need to know this as well. Its type. You need to know its type, such as gold or silver, coins, its quantity. 10 dinars, 20 dirhams, you need to know, and its weight, if it's something that can be measured by weight. So you need to know these 6 matters. One must also safeguard it in a place typical for its preservation. Such a thing is kept where? For instance, you found a golden coin. What's the place a person usually keeps these golden coins in for safeguarding? Let us say in the safe. So they would put them in a safe. That's the place where such items are kept usually for preservation. So you don't put it on the window, because any negligence from your side, where the item is lost from you as well, then you will be liable to reimburse to the owner. So you have to be cautious. If you were to choose to keep it and publicize it, then after 1 year, if the owner doesn't show up, you want to take it, you need to keep it where? In a place where such items are usually kept. Even if you want to keep it as safeguarding it until the owner shows up, you need to put it in a place where such items are usually kept. In the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about the lost and found golden and silver coins. You know, they might be in what? In like a container. It's like a bag or sack, for instance. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "I'rif wika'aha wa 'ifasaha." No, it's container and the lid of it, and publicize it for 1 year. عرفها سنة. فإن لم تعرفها, if you choose not to publicize it, فاستبقيها ولتكن عندك وديعة. Keep it for safeguarding until the owner shows up. فإن جاء طالبها يوما من الدهر فأدها إليه. If the owner, the true owner, shows up one day, give it back to him. Then he was asked about the lost camels. What should I do with them? If I see a lost camel in a bush, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, and what business you have to do with them, the lost camels? Leave them. They know how to protect themselves and they know how to fend for themselves. They look after themselves. That's the meaning of it. They're not weak animals. They can look after themselves. Leave them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, leave them. They can eat, they can drink, they can eat from the trees until the owner shows up and finds them. Then he was asked about the sheep. If he finds a little sheep, what can he do with it? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, take it. It's either yours or to your brother or to the wolf. So one of three things. It's either you take it or someone else will take it or the wolf will take it. So in that case, you take it. So he needs to, if he chooses not to take it for safekeeping, for safeguarding, he wants to own it after 1 year. He needs to know these six matters the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith, and all these matters will be known, that he needs to mention all these things in order to be able to know and identify what he found. Then he needs to publicize it for 1 year. Where? He goes to the mosques and he would publicize this lost item outside the mosque, the lost and found, outside the mosque, not inside, outside the mosque. He might go to the marketplaces where people gather usually. And at the beginning, he might be announcing or publicizing twice a day, once in the morning, once in the late afternoon, for a period of time. Then once a day, then maybe twice a week, then once a week, then once a month. And he keeps doing this until 1 year. If after 1 year he despairs of finding the owner of it, He can take it in his ownership with the condition of reimbursing. He can say, تَمَلَّكْتُهَا. تَمَلَّكْتُهَا, I now take it into my ownership. So after 1 year, he might say, تَمَلَّكْتُهَا. It becomes his, he can benefit by it, but with the condition that if the owner shows up one day, he needs to reimburse that item. If it's something that can be weighed or measured, then he would give the same amount. Let us say he found 4 muds of wheat, for instance, and he took them, or dates, dried dates, and after 1 year, the owner didn't show up, and he chooses to take them, then after that, the owner shows up, he would give him the same amount. So that's by volume. Or by weight, like the golden dinar and dirham, amount of gold and silver. If it's something that is usually known by the value, like an animal, for instance, a sheep that he looked after for 1 year, and the owner didn't show up, then after 1 year he chose to take it to his ownership, and he took it, then he slaughtered that sheep and he ate it, then the owner shows up. Now at the time, he took it into his possession, he would pay the value of it to the owner. The last thing I would like to mention for tonight's lesson is that sometimes a person may find something that is not that valuable. He might find a dollar, 50 cents, something that is not so valuable. Does he need to publicize it for 1 year? Some scholars said yes, and the judgment passes on anything, any lost and found item. Some scholars said he needs to publicize it to a duration of time where the owner will no longer think about it, will not anymore think about it. So let us say a dollar, what, 1 week? He might think about it for 1 week. He might not, you know, think about it for 1 month or a year. A period of time where he stops thinking about it, then that is sufficient. And you can do something that is easier for you. You can put a sign. You can put a sign where you found it. I found something. Now you don't describe it exactly as it is in all its details, because you will find heaps of people coming to you requesting the item. Even the scholar said if you describe it in details, then someone comes to you and he says, it's mine, and you give it to him and he takes it. Then the true owner comes asking for it. Because you are negligent in the way you publicize that, you become liable to reimburse. That's why you learn about these matters. So if you find, let us say, $20 in the mosque, so you don't say, who lost $20, a bit old, with such and such honor, so you want to describe it in detail, many people will come to you. You might say, who lost an amount of money between a dollar and 50? Let him come to me. Then someone may say to you, yeah, I lost $20. So you don't specify the exact amount. You give something in between to know the real owner of that lost item. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We say La ilaha illallah and make salah on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.